What's good, listeners? Welcome to the Chris Collins Show, Millennial Talk Show. Good morning, Marissa. How's it going, fam?
Oh my gosh, I'm so happy it's Friday. I have not looked forward to a Friday in so long.
Maybe it's because it's the month of December. It's Christmas is right around the corner, the happiest time of the year.
It could be that, or I just want you to cut loose and party tonight.
I guess the first thing that we need to say is, did you survive Thanksgiving?
Actually, Thanksgiving was like no drama, like at all, like not one drama. So that was kind of fun and interesting. And yeah, I ate a lot and ate a lot and ate a lot. So it was cool.
Hey, that's what's up. Same thing. I mean, it was a great time with family and friends. And I hope you, the CCS family, had the same feeling when it came to your holiday season. And hopefully this month continues that bash all the way until New Year's. But I know, Marissa, I definitely wanted to share this with you and the rest of the CCS family, because this is kind of crazy this morning. I don't know if you even saw this, CCS family, but Drew Brees is trending on Twitter this morning because people are trying to determine whether his commercial that he just shot in Venezuela is real or fake, because something very drastic happened on the set. So you decide whether it's real or fake. I got the clip right here.
Hey, feeling dirt? Feeling good?
So clearly, Marissa, people online were fearful because I guess
it looks real.
Doesn't it look very real?
He just died. Like, Drew Brees just died.
That's seriously what I thought, too. I know my mom told me way back in the day that, like, she had a staff or a teacher on campus where she used to work at her high school, and someone got electrocuted, and it was no joke. Like, it's a very legit thing. Wow. I mean, thank God the man survived. But people die from this. And I guess this is in a very popular place. Well, not for tourist, but like, it's well known with enthusiasts that love to kind of study these kind of things. Well, it's considered the lightning capital of the world. It's called Catatumbo. I'm probably butchering the name, but I guess it is a never-ending lightning storm for up to 9 hours a day, up to 300 nights a year, with strikes that do 28 times per minute, Marissa. So they decided to go to this venue, and obviously sports reporters were reaching out to Drew Brees going, hey, are you okay? I guess he did this for a sports bet, or it's called Points Bet. It's a sports book that obviously, you know, online gambling's been thriving this year. And yeah, I guess now he's reaching out to people and saying that he's okay. And now people are saying that this is a spoof, that it was a publicity stunt to promote this sports book. So when you hear this, do you feel like this was insensitive? I mean, I just thought it was totally insane.
I don't understand who thought that would be a funny spoof. Do you know what I mean? Like, that right. just doesn't make any sense to me. I'm glad, like, hopefully it is fake. Hopefully nobody got hurt. He didn't get struck by lightning or anything crazy. But it's an odd joke. It's like sometimes where your humor lands wrong, you're like, yeah. That wasn't funny.
No, for real. I mean, I know the local news were saying that, you know, lightnings usually hit the rivers and rarely people, but 3 to 4 people die a year in that city because a lightning strike. So yeah, I mean, it's a bit insensitive, not quite like what Kanye West is going off on this week. And trust me, we will get to it during Say It, because we do have a jam-packed show for the CCS family, which I am very excited to announce that our Just Talking guest is director and writer Taryn Verma, as well as actress Simran, to discuss their feature film Conception, as well as Strike Accord artist Halen from Connecticut is punk rocker Jamie from American Thrills. And they got such a kick-ass album that I want you guys to check out. It's called Parted Ways. Don't forget to check out our brand new music podcast, Off the Fret, more music talk, featuring LA pop rockers Poe the Passenger, as our 7th installment. It's out on YouTube or wherever you listen to podcasts. And you know what, Marissa? I think it is time to rock and roll. So let's get the cue on in and let's enjoy the show, baby. Let's let it ride. Yeah. What's good, listeners? Our guest on Just Talking are director and writer Taryn, as well as actress Simran, to discuss their feature film Conception live on the Chris Collins Show Millennial Talk Show. How's it going, fam?
Good. How are you guys?
I'm feeling good.
Hey, that's what's up. We love seeing you guys. Are you guys in the Christmas spirit or what? I know I'm feeling good this morning.
Yes.
Oh, my wife got 100%. All the Christmas decorations up. My kids are going crazy. We had Santa Claus on yesterday. We're having a blast.
Oh,
man.
Nice.
You know, it's so funny. You know, I always love watching those kind of old school Christmas films because you get to kind of reminisce about the times where you actually kind of believed in those moments. Like I was watching the Michael Keaton's Jack Frost. It's so silly to watch it now, but I can remember as a kid thinking it was so real. It's so freaking awesome. So you got to love those glory days. But enough about the Christmas chat. Let's talk about Conception. And before we even begin, let's show the CCS family what's good by playing the trailer now for Conception.
No. I've seen the look in your eyes. When you see babies,
what?
No.
If you want to start a family, let's start a family.
Let's start a family.
Making babies is the fun part.
What are you doing?
What do you think I'm doing?
Until you realize you just can't have any.
We've been trying for a while now, and it just hasn't happened yet.
And I think that's the next logical step, in vitro fertilization.
Okay, in vitro...
Absolutely. Just tell us what we need to do and when we can start.
This is incredibly difficult for a couple to go through.
What the hell is wrong with you?
Yeah, I was just trying to help.
I don't need your help. I can do this myself.
Can't sit around here and will something into existence. That's not how this works.
You know, they tell you it's going to be hard, but you never think it's going to be like this.
Oh, you know, this film is so well done, Taryn and Simran. And, you know, infertility, you know, is one of those dirty little secrets that no one wants to talk about. And as someone who was once a fertility pharmacist, Taryn, I mean, that's pretty wild. I mean, why did you want to write and direct a film about the emotional turmoil that comes with, the struggle to have a family?
Well, first off, can we just acknowledge that the segue from Christmas stuff to infertility?
right? Yes.
I want to go back to the Christmas discussion if we can.
No,
you know
we can't.
I mean?
We're done.
Well, I mean, that's such a fascinating.
We're now back on you.
Yeah, no, we have to come back to you because, you know, as someone, this is your directorial debut, correct?
Correct. Yeah. So, you know, I spent so many years helping couples get pregnant. And it just, as a filmmaker, that story really, I knew there was something there to do. And for years, I didn't do it because I always associated myself as a comedy writer. Well, that's what the funny part is. All I've done before this movie has been comedies. And
so what drew you to drama then?
Man, so again, it was my time in fertility, right? So the thing is, you can't make this story funny. It just doesn't work. You know, you have to be really sensitive to the population base of the people who have gone through this, right? And so I just had it in me, man. It was COVID. There wasn't much going around. Like, there wasn't much happening. We were all locked in. So I sat there and I told my wife, I was like, I think I got something in me that I can pull out that's real serious. And the script came out. It was fantastic. You're married, so you don't do anything in a vacuum, right? You got to get approval from your wife.
Yep.
My wife was
always
like, damn, this is good. You should really make this. I was like, are you sure? Because sometimes
see, it's funny that you say your wife thinks it was really good because, you know, I was reading about you and you were, you're a University of Texas alum. You once worked and owned your own pharmacy. And I kept thinking that your wife or even your parents must have been like freaking out thinking that you left the field of health and science to be a full-time filmmaker. Did you get any kind of backlash?
So I never actually fully left healthcare. I still do it, but, you know, my wife is like, so I'm like a Cape Crusader, right? So I do healthcare during the day and I'm a filmmaker by night. And, again, comedies, that's what I love. Like there's nothing like being on a set where you're shooting comedy. Cause it's so much fun.
So do you view like filmmaking as like a powerful tool to kind of amplify a message that's maybe not necessarily getting across, like
I learned
Conception?
That now. Yeah, like through this movie, I learned to do that. Because before, my comedies were always throwaways. They're not, you know, there's no point to them. They're just funny, right? Like horrible bosses or Office Space or something of the sort, right? But then this thing came in and this was like a deadpan drama, right? Like heavy on the commentary, everything that I don't do. And it was like, I literally just channeled all of that pharmacy experience, all the interactions I've ever had with my patients, I channeled that in. And so this film is a collection of their stories. So I knew that I had to be as sensitive as possible with it. So you pretty much throw that comedic writer, director out of the door and you bring in this whole other person and you're like, we got to tell this thing right. So
no, I think Taryn, you did such a phenomenal job. And like you said, your script is very, it's got a lot of heavy dialogue. And Simran, you're such a natural on screen. I mean, it seems like you've been doing this for a very long time. And what drew you into wanting to be a part of this feature film, Conception?
Well, I definitely am someone who loves challenges. So this was something that I knew that would be a challenge because I am someone who never has ever thought about having kids, getting married. I was never that girl. I was always the girl who wanted.
Has that philosophy changed? Because I'm with you. I mean, I didn't necessarily relate with this couple in the film, Taryn and Simran, because, like, you know, personally, I always joke with the CCS family. I know my mom hates it. I'm going to say it again. Like, if Bill Maher could be a bachelor till he's 50, I'm okay. Like, my older brother has four foster kids, which he totally loves. My little brother's married. I'm not. Like, if they're okay and I'm happy, is that a terrible mindset? I mean, I'm seeing chuckles from both of you right now. I mean,
I'm a Bill Maher fan, so I hear Bill Maher talk about it all the time. So it just, you know, makes me laugh. And, you know, there was a funny thing. I was listening to a podcast with Bill Maher and Quentin Tarantino, and Bill Maher was shitting on Quentin Tarantino for being like, because he got married now and has a kid, mm-hmm. right? And Quentin's in like his 50s or something like that. And Bill Maher was like, I thought we were going to do this till the wheels fell off. Like, you and me, we're going to stay single.
Yeah.
And he was just like, I don't know, man. Something just changed one day. And he's like, maybe it'll change in you. And Bill Maher's like, nah, I don't think so.
I don't see that one.
Yeah, I feel like I'm on that same page as well. I just don't see myself with kids. I mean, do you have kids of your own, Simran?
I do not. So, and I don't plan to, of course, you know, I'm still sticking by that, but you just never say never.
See, because I was about to throw the hypothetical question that was inside the script of Conception. How far will you go to have a baby? But clearly, that is nowhere in your world. Why is that case?
I have always been very passionate about working with kids. So I would like to spend time giving love to kids out there that don't have that. And that's just something that's been very close to my heart. I feel like it's almost a purpose of mine. I don't know why. I don't know where that comes from. I don't know. For me, having kids just feels selfish. And it's just, that's me, right? Because I just feel like my purpose is something else. And sometimes being a mother is not for everybody. You know, I would rather have a million kids that I'm helping as a mother, like, you know, metaphorically, rather than just one or two of my own, because I know that if I have a child, I would be obsessed with it. And I would, all of my time and energy would go into it, because I love, and I'm a heavy lover. So I just feel like all the love that I have to give, I would rather just give out.
Would you be open to fostering? Because I have friends that foster. So they're the same thing. They don't want their own kids, but they want to give love and
help. Is it because you don't want to go through the pain? Or is it
no pain builds character.
They have epidurals, homie.
I'm just saying. I mean, because
I took,
you know,
a nap. I was in labor.
Simran, you're really kind of like sparking something that I wasn't necessarily thinking about until now. What if you're in a relationship and you're let's say you're married and you're ready to make that next big step in your relationship? What if the man or if it's a, you know, yeah, a female, or, you know, it's got to be the man in the relationship. If they want, you know, if they, just dirt, dirt, dirt. I had a blonde moment. I get one
Chris,
blonde
just,
moment
just
a day.
Just keep
digging
that hole, homie. Just keep digging that hole, okay?
But what, if the man, right? But what if the male in the relationship is the one advocating for a baby? How do you approach that conversation? I mean, Taryn, you're the one with kids. I mean, do you have any advice?
Yeah. So a lot of people during the press tour of this film, they're like, well, what's the point of this movie? Like, what's the take home message with this? Right. And my take home is, doesn't matter if you're two dates in, you just got married, or you just got engaged. talk about this, because they don't, people don't talk about this when they're dating, right? They're not like, hey, you know, what if they're both like, hey, we don't want a kid, but then in 5 years, one of them does. Like, you need to go through these scenarios, because this topic right here, this right here, son,
you know, that happened,
this can
to me.
Break up a relationship.
No, but that happened to me in my, with my marriage. I thought we were on the same page about having a kid, getting married, having a kid. And then so we got married and I was like, great, let's have a kid. And he didn't want a kid. And we have a daughter. I mean, we're divorced now, but she was an accident. He did not want a kid. And I was having to be like, wow, I married somebody that I thought wanted a family.
But like, I guess my thing is though, that
so
I'm not
a deal breaker. About being clear about
being
clear,
not hearing
I would
from,
not have made him. I would not have married him.
But I guess the thing is, what I'm not hearing from both of you guys is, when do you bring up that conversation? Is
right away.
First week, first month? Really?
Right away. And be clear. And be clear about it.
Do you agree with this? I don't know if I necessarily want to have that talk within
the
first week. That would turn me off immediately.
Okay, not the first day.
On the fourth day, man. Like, you got to get it out of the way, because this is a deal breaker. Money and children. These are the two things that lead to a divorce, hands down, top of the list, right?
Yep.
Like, you need to sort this out. What if one person ends up significantly making more? Like, I tried to get my wife to sign a prenup and she was like, haha, F you. And I was like, okay, can we cross that road? You know what I mean? Like, we crossed that road. And then when children came, it was like, my wife's not big on having children. I'm a big little bear. I wanted kids.
Aww.
My wife was like, nah. And I was like, how far are we willing to go? Are we willing to, you know, adopt? Are we willing to do this? And she drew her line in the sand and was like, this is how far I'd go. Beyond that, like, I don't think so. You'd have to respect that line. The sooner you can have this discussion in a relationship, the better.
And
man,
clear,
I think you got bigger cojones than I do, Taryn, because like, I don't know if I can even bring that up. I feel like that's such an awkward conversation. But I mean, in turn, I mean, the entire IVF process can be, you know, physically, emotionally, as well as financially taxing on couples. And when does a fertility pharmacist come in and tell a couple the unconcealable truth? Because that's got to be very awkward.
So that's the cool thing. I don't deal with that part. So that's what the doctors do, right? So the doctors are the ones that give you the bad news and all that. But what happens is, it's kind of like any pharmacist is, I'm the boots on the ground. So when they're out of the doctor's office and they have a million questions that they didn't feel comfortable asking the doctor, they'd come to me for it. And they go, hey, Taryn, what about this? What about that? What about this? And, you know, you do the best of your ability to answer those questions. And I would actually on the weekend sit down with fertility doctors and be like, hey, I got asked like 5 questions that I didn't understand or I didn't know. Like, you need to explain this to me so I can get educated so that I can then deliver this to the patients out there. So, man, it's heavy stuff. You're absolutely right. Couples spend up to like 6 figures. Mm-hmm. Could you imagine that? Like,
I saw that you did a wonderful sit down with Fox 26 in Houston, and you were explaining how some people pay hundreds of thousands of dollars in IVF treatment. I mean, Simran, let me bring you into the mix, because let's say I already heard your thoughts. I mean, this is something clearly you wouldn't do because you don't want to produce any babies anytime soon. But if you had like one of your friends that was going through this process, I mean, would you even have, you know, like the strength or the willpower to even kind of try to step in and be like, hey, enough is enough? Like, don't you know, it's like, you know, you got to kind of protect your own health at one point. I mean, that's kind of how I felt when I was watching this film.
I'm a lot like Amy in the sense that where I'm a fighter. So if I were to decide to have kids and I wasn't able to, and I would have to go through this process, I would fight. I think it's just about, I think it's important to fight for things that you love. So that's my take on it.
I mean, right into Marissa, who she was talking about how she wanted a kid. That segues right into that right there.
Yep. Yeah.
No, I think that is totally true. But it's like, do couples who spend this kind of money actually find more success compared to those who don't necessarily have that kind of income to do these $100,000 worth of treatment?
It depends what the problems are, right? So the problem could be in a male sperm, it could be in a woman's eggs, like you just don't know, right? And so spending the money, the odds are still low that you're going to get pregnant, but it gives you a better shot as you just naturally trying to conceive when you can't, or there's some sort of issues or whatever. So it just depends on how bad do you want it, right? Because $100,000, that's you're sacrificing lifestyle, right? You start going through this process, like you're decreasing the way that you live, like going out, traveling to Turkey, drinking or whatever. Like you can't do this kind of stuff, right? And then two, emotionally, man, it's just like a cloud over your head.
But I feel like it's emotionally a cloud over even your head, the doctor, the pharmacist, because after a while, I mean, you know, as I was watching your film, I kept thinking like, oh, at first this, you would probably find joy in this job because you're helping start a family for these couples. But then there seems to be quite a dark side to it as well. I mean, do you find that balance when you work in that kind of occupation?
So that's why I make comedies, right? By night, because the job is depressing, right? And it is beautiful.
It's your outlet. Yeah.
Yeah. It's my creative outlet. Whenever the couples can have a kid, that's amazing. You know, I love seeing it. One of them moved into my neighborhood. So every time I see her with her child, I'm just like, I helped that couple have a child.
That's cool. And you're like the Santa Claus. You're like the baby Santa Claus. I love it.
No, I think that's really, that's very cool and something special. And I know, Simran, going back to you, I mean, during the making of Concession, did you learn anything about yourself?
Yes. So back to the fighting thing, I feel like it reignited my fight for life and fight for things that I love, because I was in a very, I was in a very weird place when Tharun found me to do Conception. And I was actually dealing with a very unhealthy relationship. And it was my first relationship, my first love. And it was towards the end of it. So it really, you know, I feel like in that, I through developing Conception and Amy, I feel like I learned to fight for things again in life that I believed in and that I cared about. And I feel like I found my voice through Amy in some way. And I don't know what it is, but when you play characters that are empowered, there's a part of you that ignites and is empowered also. And it's almost like these characters that you're playing are healing you. Like there's a part of you that heals through it.
There's so much healing in acting. I always call it like my own personal therapy, right? So when I'm dealing with the same thing, dealing with the character, the stuff that as an actor we have to tap into be empathetic and to be in those shoes opens up a lot of doors that most people keep closed. And we can't as actors. We have to be an open soul.
That's our job.
Very good point.
Mm-hmm. That's our job.
Yeah, very good point. I mean, you know, I think everything that you two are saying right now, I think is very, very true. But, you know, as someone like you and I, Simran, you know, been joking about how, you know, we don't want any kids anytime soon. That's not our way of life. But, you know, this is not necessarily something that I think about, but I think it definitely needs to be a question that needs to be asked. How do you deal with life with no family? I mean, I understand that you have cousins, you have your nieces and et cetera, but like, how do you move forward not knowing that that's the life that you want to live?
You know, that's funny. I was actually thinking about this morning. I was like, wait, so does this mean my like lineage is over with and now I have to depend on my brother and my sister to have kids? And how are my parents going to feel?
I think it's because you're watching too many House of Dragons. Is that what's going on?
Need to start that. But no, I think, again, never say never, but there's just something in me where I just feel like there's so much work to be done in my life. And you know, there's just so much love to give to the world, to people. And I feel like until I'm at a place where I feel like I've showed up as that person that I see myself being, it's going to be very hard for me to take a step back and focus on my family. Because and any relationship I get into now, because of my last one, I've made it a priority to say that, you know, That's a given. Work is always going to come first. My purpose is always going to come first, and then it'll be my family, which is absolutely it's hard for my family to hear.
Yeah. Absolutely, Simran. I think, you know, I need you to speak for my parents moving forward. So like, if you don't mind during the holidays when my aunts start bugging me about, where's that lady in your life? Can I just FaceTime you and you can speak for me, like speak to my personal attorney?
So this is how Chris asks a girl out on a date. He's like,
yeah, exactly. I got to get clearance. She's got to talk to my co-host Marissa first. And if Marissa's not jiving, then she's not the lady in my life. Well, Taryn and Simran, I can't thank you guys enough for joining Just Talking, the Chris College Show Millennial Talk Show. And for everybody that wants to be able to check out this film today, where can they go and see Conception?
So right now it's in its rental window. So anywhere where you rent a movie, you can get it. Apple TV, iTunes, Amazon Prime, video on demand. Like if you have Xfinity, Comcast, go rent it. Little films like this need a lot of love. We're trying to get on Netflix and Hulu. So please go rent the movie. When if enough people rent this thing, they'll put it on their platforms. And that's kind of
that's
the
what's good.
Nice. You know what I mean? Love it.
But thank you so much for having us, guys. This was
thank
a blast.
You too.
Hey, always much Turns love. We always you. Love the work that you two thank produce you. And much success moving forward into the year 2023. And happy holidays to you too. And for everybody that's on right now, live on YouTube, stick around because we got more left on the Chris Collins Show, Millennial Talk Show. So that's right. So we are now on into Strike a Chord, where if you physically or digitally pick up that record, you're going to know these tracks. And we got the one and only band Halen from Connecticut. They are punk rockers, American Thrills. And let me go ahead and bring on the Motley Crue himself into the mix. But for everybody that's joining us right now, go ahead and check out our seventh installment of Off the Fret, More Music Talk, featuring LA pop rockers Poe the Passenger, out now on YouTube or wherever you listen to podcasts. And right now we have here with us Jamie. How you doing, Jamie?
Good. I thought you forgot about us or found a better band or something.
No, I got you, my man. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Everything's real good, brother. Real good. So, hey, do you know, because I have to kind of bring this up with you right at the top of the show. Do you know why America doesn't have a knock-knock joke?
No, but I want to hear why.
Because America, freedom rings, motherfucker. Freedom rings. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is because
your band,
I totally kind of butchered it, but the reason why I wanted to bring this into the mix, Jamie, is because your band name, American Thrills, sounds as patriotic as, like, I imagine an eagle pounding, you know, a 30 rack of Budweiser. So, like, tell us the backstory behind the band's name.
So, you know, I wish we had a better backstory. Realistically, Kurt, our singer, the front man of the band, has been sitting on a list of band names for about 5 years, and he kind of turned through the pages, and we narrowed it down to two. I think one was like called Skate Party and American Thrills, and American Thrills just sounded so good we had to roll with it. But you know,
okay, nothing wrong with that. You sure you don't want to steal my philosophy?
You sound more serious than the was it Skate? What did you say?
It's like skate party. I forget.
Yeah, skate party. Ago, yeah. American Thrills sounds more serious.
Sounds like you grew up in the era, you know, basically licking your cartridge of your Nintendo 64 trying to launch Tony Hawk's Pro Skater. I mean, that's kind of the vibes that you're getting me with behind the backstory of American Thrills.
Appreciate it. Yeah, we're old. I mean, hey, it is what it is.
You're not that old. Come on, stop playing, girl. Come on now. But I also saw online that you guys label your band as being new country, like new metal, but new country. I mean, what in the world does that even mean?
It was a genre we were trying to start, but it didn't take off. We're kind of punk rock. We have some big country vibes, you know, a little bit of everything. We were trying to like start something cool, and I guess we're not cool enough to make a new genre. So we tried it. It didn't work out. I still say we're new.
Just indulge the listening audience. That is freaking hilarious. What do you mean by new country? Were you guys trying to be like Jonathan Davis or Chad Gray from Mudvayne with like a little bit of country slang?
When I hear new country with punk rock, I think of Hank the Third.
There you go. Yeah. You know, we have some like, you know, we consider ourselves one of the most new metal bands to play the fest, which is like a big punk rock festival. Mm-hmm. So we definitely take some vibes and we like Limp Bizkit. We listen to a lot of Limp Bizkit. We don't really sound like that per se, but I think there's some influences of those like kind of 90s alt rock, new metal bands in some weird way.
Yeah. I mean, I have fun. I've seen Limp Bizkit, you know, a couple times before and, you know, when I think about, you know, new metal, for example, especially now in the year 2022, it gets a lot of backlash. I mean, even artists that were even considered new metal are like hating that they're even labeled under that genre. So why did you guys even want to even consider even joining that subgenre?
Because, you know, we first off, it's kind of funny. But besides that, you know, it's we grew up, it's nostalgic. Like we grew up with bands like, you know, the Deftones and I guess, you know, Limp Bizkit. This is part of our like upbringing in music. It was what was on MTV. It was what was all around us. And, you know, it kind of shaped music during that time. And that was a very influential time for us as like young musicians.
Does it help the creative process to kind of put your band like into a theme of a certain genre when it comes to creating music?
Yeah. You know, yeah, it's interesting to think of it that way, but yeah, it allows us to kind of put us in a certain direction, right? When you're so like, I guess you don't want to be so specific with a genre. When you kind of pigeonhole yourself in one genre, it leads you to not kind of expand into other potential sounds.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you feel that the label of punk rock is being loosely tossed around with artists?
You know, punk rock is such like a wide spectrum. Like there are, when punk rock 20 years ago, you think of like the Descendants and like these, like when I thought of punk rock, it was a very different grouping of bands than it is today. I mean, punk rock, there are so many like subgenres within it that, I mean, just about every band today has some sort of punk rock influence to some extent.
No, yeah, no, it's so totally true. I was just curious whether, you know, you had a thought on that. I mean, I'm totally okay with it. I mean, I listen to hard rock and heavy metal, and there's always like numerous subgenres that I could care less. Yeah. I think it's actually very fun, and it kind of leads you down the kind of this rabbit hole where you're kind of playing detective to try to discover and find out your favorite artist and find a new genre that you might have never heard of. But, you know, all I know is American Thrills has a badass record titled Parted Ways, which turns out to be the band's debut LP. So did you approach this record differently compared to your EP Old Things?
Yeah, you know, an EP is great, and it gives you like a little sampling of a band, right? You're doing four songs. A lot of times you could bang that out in like a weekend in the studio with the right producer, and you got the right people working with you. When you're doing an LP, it's just so much more. It has to be like more cohesive. It's a lot more music. You know, we kind of like, we trashed some songs that didn't make the record. You know, we put a lot more effort and time and kind of thought into doing a full length record, especially with it being our first full length record. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you guys are working on new material, what comes first? I mean, are you thinking about the lyrics, or is it just to start off with you creating a melody?
You know, it kind of varies song to song. You know, our two guitarists usually will come up with like a cool idea, whether it be a riff, like a hook, a chorus, something. And we have a group text going at all times where we're constantly sending each other kind of ideas and little bits and pieces. And then when we get together and we have a practice space, we kind of just, you know, just kind of get together, start playing it and see where it goes organically.
Oh, I think that's pretty cool, man. And are you guys like recording yourselves through like sound bites, or are you guys just doing like raw vocal takes? And it's like, hey, work around this.
You know, we're actually all have like pretty somewhat legitimate like studio type setups. So We're actually able to do a lot of demoing and kind of get a pretty quality sounding product.
That is actually really cool, because usually you only have that one person in the band that has access to it, if that, right? Oh, how cool.
Yeah,
how much of a factor does that play in a band where you guys actually know the production side of things when it comes to mixing and mastering?
You know, so we have others who mix and master. Kurt, you know, that the vocalist in our band, he had a studio about 20 years ago that he's been working with. So he is really, really influential with all those things. But us all having a little bit of knowledge, it definitely makes it easier and allows us to be a little more involved with the process and be more hands-on with the record.
Nice. I like that. And I know the music video that we're about to play on Strike a Chord is American Thrills music video, Misfires. And what can you share about this track?
So Misfires, it was one of the first singles we dropped like way back when we announced the record. I think this video was just kind of like some footage we had from being on the road, playing some shows combined with some live footage we had. But this is kind of like an upbeat, kind of a anthemic type song, kind of has like Hot Water Music type vibes to it. It's one of my favorites on the record, actually.
No, it is such a freaking jammer, Jamie. And I think you guys should be thrilled with your guys' brand new record, Parted Ways. And I want you, the CCS family, if you haven't heard of them yet, you're going to hear them right now. It's such an amazing group, and I love this track a lot. And just like how Jamie said, this song is called Misfires, live on the Chris Collins Show, Millennial Talk Show.
I sit in pain, surround this place. I built this life without your grace. You walk around this room, yeah, like you're just some kind of ghost. And it's been so long, I only wait for you all night long. And I should have been so sure of this, but it's been like 100 years. Yeah, we met like strangers often too. At first a spark in an ashen room. You burst out like a martyr, but you know. Yeah, you burnt out like a martyr. You were nobody to save. It's been so long, I only waited for you all night long. And I should have been so sure of this, but it's been like 100 years.
Yeah, that's what's good. That is the American Thrills, and that is their music video, Misfires. And this is Strike a Chord, where we interview artists all around the globe, and we are very excited and stoked to have Jamie here with us right now on the Chris Collins Show Millennial Talk Show. And I know, I'm sure that you have seen this, Jamie, but all this week, Apple and Spotify rap montages have been shared on social media, highlighting users' top artists. And how do you feel the internet has impacted the music business?
It's huge. I mean, when we first started playing in these bands in like the early 2000s, this stuff didn't exist. You know, it was, you put out CDs and you brought CDs to shows and you sold them. Now the streaming media is huge. You know, I know bands that are blowing up through like TikTok and through these social media channels, which is great. But it's kind of hard almost to sift through it because there's so much out there. And, you know, the biggest problem we have is, you know, Spotify kind of sucks. It doesn't pay the artists anything for the plays.
Yeah. We talk about it numerous times here at the Chris Collins Show that, you know, an artist gets paid a third to a fifth of a penny per stream. And if you don't mind me asking, what is like the number one source of revenue when it comes towards your band? Because I know the biggest conversation with a lot of artists right now going into the new year is merchandise cuts that venues are bringing towards artists. And I know that there's a huge movement happening in the United Kingdom where venues are actually signing the petition to actually remove that. Where here in America, artists like yourself have to pay the venue 15 to 35% of the merchandise cut to the venue. Are you okay with that? Because the last I recall, merchandise is the only source of revenue as of this time, because CD sales, who the hell's buying a CD nowadays?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, a lot of the money we make as a band, which isn't a ton, but we sell a lot of vinyl. I mean, that's kind of the cool thing. Vinyl records, we do like exclusive presses with certain labels. You do cool colors, variants. We had like a really cool picture disc, and those move, right? Which is cool. Mm-hmm. Some t-shirts, things like that. But yeah, you know, at shows, once again, we're not selling nearly the volume of merch that bands did 20 years ago because of this lack of CDs and those, you know, in-person sales. So to have a venue kind of take a cut is outrageous. You know, these
right?
Bands, yeah, it's, you know, right now too, the price of, you know, gas, fuel, I mean, everything is up. And a lot of bands, you know, these smaller to mid-sized bands aren't actively touring right now because it's not affordable. You know, they can't get out there and do it.
Absolutely. I think you're really kind of spelling out what's going on, you know, behind the scenes, especially, you know, across town, across the globe. And I know some of the biggest conversation that's been going around this week that's kind of been sparked by 21 Savage. I don't know if you heard about this, but he was calling Nas irrelevant. And I think, you know, he was basically saying that because the youth don't necessarily listen to him anymore. I know even Boosie even came out and kind of said something very similar this week about how Jay-Z and about how he goes to all the Atlanta clubs and L.A. and New York, and they're not playing Jay-Z's music in the club. I kind of feel like he has a point. And the reason why I'm saying that is because I feel like the music industry and social media plays so much of a factor into this, because no one's buying albums anymore. Everybody's buying singles. And it seems like that's the only kind of thing that's a high stature right now with music lovers.
Yeah, no, I agree. You know, in the punk rock scene, I think a lot more people pay respect to the roots. You know, a lot of these bands mm-hmm. pave the way for bands that are out there today. And I'd like to think, at least in like the fest and the punk rock scene, people at least respect and pay homage to these, like, you know, beginning artists that kind of started the genre. You know, the rap game might be different. I'm not too into that. Or in the know, let's say. But, you know, I do see in the punk rock scene, there's a lot of like tribute records. They put out vinyl, and we're covering, you know, like the Descendants just had a tribute record done. There was a Hot Water Music one. It's our genre, I think, is a little more respect toward the older bands that paved the way.
Yeah, I think that's actually a very fair point. I mean, you know, that's true. You know, punk rock industry is quite a tight niche. I think that's why they just kind of embrace everybody owning the label of being punk rock. But are you familiar with what's going on with the whole Ticketmaster and Live Nation debacle when it comes to dynamic pricing? Because I know that's going to be the new spark of conversation again, because I know the two-day tickets for Metallica and Pantera are going on sale today. And with dynamic pricing in effect, it's going to be mental. It's going to be insane to even try to buy a ticket. So does any of this kind of speak any truth, or is this foreign cars? You have no idea what's going on with dynamic pricing?
No, you know, I'm pretty familiar. You know, back in the day when I used to go want to see a band, I'd go to Strawberries or to like a Ticketmaster store and I'd buy the tickets. You'd be able to buy it like, you know, in person. The problem is that I understand what they're doing, right, to combat the bots and people just like mass buying and then reselling. But this obviously isn't working. You know, the prices that people are getting, it's outrageous that someone would have to pay that kind of money to see an artist they just want to support. So I think they just have to find a better model. You know, there has to be some sort of like in between where they could keep out the bots.
But don't you think the better model is just like, once you place it at face value, it should be what it is, well, not continue to surge?
Yeah, I agree with that. But I think the problem is that, you know, when it is face value, they have these like bots and these things that can get in and just mass buy these.
And then they make those tickets higher.
Yeah. That's... And then they resell on StubHub and third parties.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I know that's been kind of the center of the controversy.
The only way to kind of stop it is, and I know it's bots, so it might be impossible. I don't know it, but it's to limit how many tickets you can buy at a time.
Yeah,
so
it's very difficult
though.
Turn
around and buy
like
a lot of these
third party brokers who can bypass these robots and form themselves as bots are, you know, unfortunately getting in, where, you know, if you wanted to go see Blink-182 or if you're a Swiftie fan or even a Metallica fan who wants to go and see Pantera reunite, good luck, CCS mm-hmm. family. Good luck. But Jamie, I know the music video that we're about to play, I wanted to kind of throw it back to your EP, because I think it really kind of stands true to what eventually evolved into your guys' amazing debut LP. But I really like this single. It's called Old Things. And you boys sing in the following: "You're the reason why I like old things, because nothing's really broken anyway. You're the reason why I am this way. I can't let go of much of anything." So when you say these kind of things, what do you want the listening music lover to take away from this track?
So these are Kurt's lyrics, so I'll kind of, you know, paraphrase the best I can.
But I'm sure, okay, I love when an artist says that, because yeah. You don't have any kind of say, or you don't, I mean, I know when I was in a punk rock band, if an artist was saying something, I'm like, I want to know what the hell you're saying, so that when I get asked, what the hell does this even mean?
Yeah, you know, old things is, you know, a lot of us, we're getting older, you know, we're losing friends, we're losing family members. And this song is kind of just about, you know, nostalgia and the kind of impacts these people still have on us even once they're gone.
Okay, fair enough. You see, it wasn't too bad. But you know what? I love this track. I think you guys got something very special. And definitely go ahead and see these guys in the new year, because I definitely know they're going to be playing some live gigs. And let's go ahead and play American Thrills music video, Old Things, live on the Chris Collins Show, Millennial Talk Show.
This pain's a hard one to go through. The way it twists and surrounds you, it always comes back to haunt you. Oh, it's a hard truth to swallow. I can't remember how your voice sounds. I'm searching for the words, but they don't come out. You don't haunt my dreams anymore. Won't you come back down? Now I pace the steps that we used to take.
Gotta love it. That is American Thrills, and that is their music video, Old Things, and you can find it on their EP titled Old Things. And Jamie, we can't thank you enough for joining the Chris Collins Show Millennial Talk Show. You have been so freaking amazing. And do you have any big plans or ambitions that you guys are looking forward to setting put in the year 2023?
So we just dropped the record.
just realized how I said it.
we just dropped the record. We have a little bit of the first pressing of the vinyl left. It's like a cool smoky gray, and they're just about gone. You know, we have a music video coming in the next few weeks.
Let's go.
And then we start playing some shows in January. We have a big local show in the spring. We're going to get out with some buddies and hit the road and play some shows. But
nice.
We announce those for another few weeks or so. We're kind of finishing up with.
Hey, that's so freaking badass. I mean, people have stuck around this long on YouTube Live. I mean, can you let the people know what's good? What's the music video? What song off the track of the LP that you guys are going to be promoting?
So we did a... we had a live show, our album release last week, and it was awesome. We actually completely sold the show out. It was incredible to see all our friends, our local, you know, crowd come out. And we shot a video for Sinking with a lot of live footage and a lot of like our friends and family just getting drunk. And it's a blast, and we're excited to
share
it.
Best type of video.
Dude, hell yeah. Right, Marissa? I don't know about you, but I love going on YouTube and watching live music videos, especially when we were in the middle of the pandemic. Oh my gosh. But now that I'm able to get back into that live atmosphere, I can tell just from talking with Jamie here today, you're going to want to go and see American Thrills live in person. And much success for you in the future, Jamie. You've been so freaking awesome. So thank you again for joining the Chris College Show, Millennial Talk Show.
Yes, awesome. Thank you so much.
And for everybody that's on with us right now, stick around because we got so much more left on the Chris College Show. So let's cue the transition. And for anybody who hasn't checked out my brand new Off the Fret podcast featuring LA Pop Rockers and I was about to say Animal Sun. They are there too. But Poe the Passenger, they're up right now. It's a blast. I mean, guys, let me know what's good. It's on YouTube or wherever you listen to podcasts. And I think we got to let the people know what's good, Marissa. I mean, who's our guest for next week?
Yo, you don't have the guess? Oh, my God.
Oh, we definitely know what's good.
No, the guess, no. I have it. Do you know it?
Because I'm like, yeah, I definitely know what's good. I got you. What's okay. good. I know I'm starting to run out of time. No, you're way good.
I was like, we have a list of guests. I'm like, who's
No, it's going to be awesome. We got Nero Knox. He's going to be joining us. He's a guitar player. He's actually going to start singing vocals now. He's actually been professionally trained by the singer of Diamond Head. That's pretty freaking awesome. He's in the demo process. He's going to be sharing it with us. He's got over $100,000 worth of funding for this brand new record. So we're actually going to be doing something different. We're actually going to be listening to demos in real time and actually talking about that entire process to what it takes to develop a full-time record. So that's going to be a lot of fun. And I hope you guys are enjoying the first week of your month of December. And I will see you next Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. For now, enjoy the weekend and I'll see you later, fam. Peace. What's good? It's Chris from the Chris College Show Millennial Talk Show, featuring alternative pop rock band Poe the Passenger, amassing over 1 million streams with their debut LP, Alenia, joins Off the Fret. More music talk. What's good, party people? Chris Collins Show presents Music Storm 2022, hosted by Chris Collins and Marissa Pitts, featuring Royals. There's got to be a better way. Hurricane Highway. Cannibal Kids. Amanda Cooksey. Astoria State. Kid Dad, Resounding, Sleep Cycles, Avenues, Freckles, Weather Worn, Just True, Sophia Marie, Music Storm 2022, available wherever you listen to podcasts. Our brand new podcast, Off the Fret.
I love it. It's more time to chat.
Hello.
You would look so jazzy. I love your outfit.
How far would you go to start playing live music again?
This slaps harder than my ex when she got her stimulus check. So, are you here to bring the sexual healing with your music? Everything is everything, and I guarantee you're going to hear this song in the future. I love the flow, man. Politically charged album. So, if you get easily offended, this might not be the album for you. Brand new podcast, Off the Fret.
So excited.
Has Kim Kardashian accidentally sent you a coochie shot?
Do you want to stay there? It's completely your choice. Or you want to...
I feel you. And you know what? I love it. Off the Fret. More music talk. Peace.